Now.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree. And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are
just... And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward. Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out in chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer, slash co-host, slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. It's a Thursday night. You can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show. Others work on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or Twitch.tv/WTRLive to chat with us live here tonight as we give our opinions on Clash in Italy and all the news that you can handle. And we got to talk about some stuff in the news.
We do.
So yeah, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at. So I say we don't waste any time. We jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films, YouTube.com/MBG1211. Because we got stuff to talk about for, you know, Clash. So let's just go. So for the first time in 15 years, WWE will broadcast Raw and SmackDown live in Mexico as part of the Mexico Live Tour in 2026. Guadalajara will be on September 9th, Monterrey on September 10th. I can speak, words are fine. Mexico City on September 11th for SmackDown and Mexico City on September 14th for Raw.
The crowd should be very hot after what we saw this past weekend with the mask versus mask match, which if you want live reaction to, go check out the CB Radio Live podcast that's available now. Just search for Wild Talk Radio Network wherever you get your podcast. You can listen as me and Brent react to the match live as it's happening. The crowd should be live.
Live commentary?
We did live commentary without blazers, but we did live commentary.
You gotta have the blazer.
It was impromptu, so we didn't have there was no blazers available.
You couldn't go in your closet and get a blazer?
Could not go in a closet to get the Blazers, and they were eliminated a long time ago as well from the playoffs. But anyway, it should be fun. people, you know, the other promotions, like, how dare they run Mexico the week before we do? Okay. Anyway, because they're also doing things that are not going to be in Mexico that same weekend. That's the
yes,
cue.
Yes, they are. No, that's the cue to jump to the next thing.
Because that's what's happening that weekend.
So, it's been announced that Triple Mania 34, in surprise of surprises to everybody, will take place at the Luxor Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas on night one.
Which would be September 11th, I guess 10 Eastern, one would assume.
I will say, yeah, one would assume. I will say I am a little surprised they're doing it at the Luxor.
Why?
I don't know, it just feels like it wouldn't be the right building for it.
I think they're trying to manage expectation for ticket sales.
Fair.
So you do a smaller, because it's AAA, you don't know how AAA will sell in the States. So this is like the first run for them to kind of test it out as a big event. So you get a couple thousand seater. I mean, it's not the worst thing. And then
it's definitely not.
And then they're doing night two back in Mexico. So on that Sunday.
Yeah. So Ram and Lucha Libre AAA announced today that an exciting new strategic partnership that will see the iconic auto brand become the official truck partner of the Mexico based Lucha Libre promotion. As the official truck partner in Mexico, Ram will be integrated across AAA's biggest live events, broadcasts, and social platforms, creating a money-can't-buy fan activations, custom content, and on-site experiences to engage with the passionate and growing Lucha Libre audience. Additionally, the Ram logo will feature on the map branding across a number of upcoming AAA events and key Jumbotron placements, including Triple Mania 34 in Mexico City on September 13th.
Ding.
That's huge.
Big, that's big sponsorship, yeah.
I mean, I love that for them. Good for them. Like, but damn, that's huge.
That's making money for the brand.
Does Taker get a truck? Is Taker going to ride out in a Ram truck? Is that what's going
to
happen?
He might have to ride out in a Ram truck, yeah.
But they could, like, make it all black and cool and shit, and they could customize it for him. It could be the Taker truck or something. I don't know.
I mean,
they could brand it.
They can do it. They can bring Brandon Undertaker graveyard Ram truck.
Look, if Dusty can have hay bales in the back of his truck, Taker can have one. I'm just saying.
I mean, Austin had one for years, so it makes sense.
Do it, Ram. Do it. Do it. But before AAA on September 13th and 11th, respectively, the Great American Bash, among other events, will be taking place on Sunday, June 28th at 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the CW. So go check that out.
Okay, so this is what I want to talk about. So you said a number of events, right?
Yeah, because nobody coordinated.
Nobody coordinated. There's a Forbidden Door, which is at 8 p.m. Eastern on pay-per-view, and their kickoff is usually around 7, the buy-in. So that's head-to-head there. 4 hours before this goes live would be Slammiversary from TNA, which got moved because it was originally at night, got moved to earlier in the day, not so they would not collide. Now, so it's a lot of wrestling on one day. The day before is Night of Champions, by the way, just so we're aware. So Night of Champions, Great American Bash, Forbidden Door, and Slammiversary, all in one weekend. That's a lot of wrestling, isn't it?
That is a crap ton of wrestling.
Now, people are like, how dare WWE run up against, or have NXT run up against AEW? Remember what happened the last time, rating, yada, yada, yada. Right, they're all mad about it, right?
But I thought that's what they wanted. They wanted competition, right?
But everyone's mad about it. Like, why would they do it? Why should they go up against each other? But aren't they the same people who go, you know what would be fun? Because WWE is doing Saudi Mania, brother. To have AEW run a big show, WrestleMania weekend in the States. Because there's no big wrestling event in the States in April for everyone to gather at. AEW should make an event, which means things would collide time-wise, right?
Technically, depending on how long AEW runs.
Right.
How long WWE runs
or how early AEW starts to collide with it. But in general, on that day, there would be a lot of wrestling. But people are upset about this one. But they want the other because it's WrestleMania and it's in Saudi, so they want to complain about it. But this isn't okay. That's okay for them to compete against WWE's big show. You know, I don't understand it sometimes. Also, AEW running a WrestleMania-style stadium show the same weekend as WrestleMania is the dumbest idea.
I mean, okay. I will give merit where merit is due. AEW running WrestleMania weekend would not be a bad thing for them, because to everybody's point, there is no big wrestling show in April, so it is a very prime opportunity for someone to jump in and grab that. However, I don't know if AEW is going to get the audience they want on WrestleMania weekend with WrestleMania going early. Because WrestleMania is going to be 4 hours, 2 days. We know that. That's locked. So nobody or not a lot of people are going to stick around to watch another 4 to 5 to 6 hour event on top of WrestleMania. Like the better idea would be to run like the week before or the week after. And the reason why I say that is you are not going to have a large portion of the U.S. audience travel to Saudi. That's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. No. For the people that can afford to go, go. Enjoy yourselves. But a large portion of the U.S. audience that would normally travel for WrestleMania is likely not going to Saudi. So you have an opportunity to do a big event and get those people that would normally travel for WrestleMania to travel to AEW. You just have to book it right, but you don't want to do it WrestleMania weekend. You do it the weekend before, or you do it the weekend after, depending on when it is. And you bring in those people.
And that is perfectly fine. Do it after those periods of time. Because after that, it's fair game. Because they ran before WrestleMania this year. So that's perfectly fine. Run your stadium show beforehand. That's okay. But as a wrestling fan, I don't want to watch 5 hours of WrestleMania into 5 hours of AEW.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't care enough. I would rather, like, that's where you hurt the audience in general. It's like, oh, they could just sit there. No one's sitting there for 10 hours to watch wrestling. I'm sorry. It's not going to be a thing.
I wouldn't say no one would do it, but not a lot of people are going to do that, especially if WrestleMania starts at, like, 2 in the afternoon. It ends at 7. People are going to want to go get dinner. They're going to want to go do other stuff. So they aren't going to roll into WrestleMania or into the next show. And they aren't going to sit there till midnight, 1 a.m. on a Saturday and especially on a Sunday to watch a 2-night event or a single night event on one of those 2 days. You got a better shot on Saturday. But like, nobody's going to really do that. That's the problem. And if you try to run before WWE, that's a huge issue as well, because nobody's going to get up early necessarily to watch it. Like, the prime time would be to start it at 6 or 7 in the evening, even as late as 8, and run it. But again, do it before or do it after, because then all eyes will be on your show. Because with WWE now charging for ESPN, it's something that people are not going to pay for ESPN. Well, no, I guess they will. That's a moot point. But it's like you've got to get $50 out of people for Amazon the same weekend as WrestleMania. And some people may be signing up for ESPN that weekend just to get WrestleMania, which that was my point. So they might be paying the monies to watch WrestleMania and then canceling their subscription.
Yeah, and maybe by that time you don't need to pay for ESPN because ESPN will be on all the platforms that you already own.
If you have Comcast, they already are. Ding!
I think the only really holdout, I think, is YouTube TV.
God damn it, YouTube, get your shit together.
It's in the works. It's just like the Xfinity thing. It's a lot of configuration that's taking some time.
Yeah,
they're planning for the fall, I believe.
Well, that's fine. I mean, like, if you like, the more convenient you make the ESPN app, the better, because then more people will use it.
Agreed.
So, and if you don't have to pay $30 a month or whatever for it, that's even better. Which you're paying for it in your cable bill, but you know,
that's beside the point.
But, you know, I'll take that. If Comcast wants to subsidize that, that's fine. I'll take that. But yeah, so number one, back to the original story. People coordinate, please. Coordinate. Coordinate your weekends of wrestling. And two, competition in either direction is good. Like, WWE should be allowed to compete with AEW because that's what everybody wanted when AEW first started, was they wanted a competitor for WWE and they wanted WWE and AEW to go at each other. And we all remember the weeks of NXT, and we all remember this, and we all remember that. Back when AEW was hot. And now they're okay if AEW competes, but they're not okay with WWE competing.
Correct.
Y'all got some concerns you want to talk about? There's some worries there about that, you know, that you want to address? Just thought. Anyway, moving on. On a more serious note, Big E had a TED Talk.
Is having a TED Talk. He's going
to Or he is one. Having a talk. He is having one.
Yeah.
And he's going to be talking about how he got over sharing his struggles with major depressive disorders, psychosis, and my eventual healing through medication, hospitalization, ETCs, talk therapy, and mindfulness/meditation. That's some heavy shit.
That's awesome that he is going to do a TED Talk later this summer.
Oh, yeah. That's fabulous. But, like, you look at that and you're like, Big E?
Yeah. Good on him.
Good on him. Very good on him. Moving on to AEW, Grand Slam Mexico will take place live from the Arena Mexico on Wednesday, August 5th. Tickets are going on sale this Saturday, June 6th at 10 a.m. Central Time. So go get your tickets if you want to watch it.
Yes.
On a other note, the Butcher and the Blade are officially free agents after the AEW contracts have expired. Is the Bunny still around?
No, she's been reborn, I think, in TNA.
Ah.
Expect them
to show up there.
Probably. Because remember, she died. Allie died in the Rosemary's Dark Realm thing, whatever it's called. Like they actually killed her off because she wasn't coming back. And now she's I think she's revived or her presence is back there. I don't know. It's weird. It's cool, but it's weird.
I would say this is one thing I don't like when wrestling companies, like, quote unquote, because I don't like it when TNA did it. And I'm not sure I like it that other companies have done it, that AEW and possibly TNA again, that they quote unquote kill characters. I don't like that they do that, because it's like, I don't know if you have the suspension of belief enough to get away with that.
I mean, it worked when they killed her off, because it's the cinematic universe they try to do. It worked as a story. But then, because she did that to go to AEW, and then she became the Bunny there, so she wasn't Allie, so she was a different person. But now she got left there. Yeah, I don't know, it's weird. But for the story, it worked. But then 7 years later, it's like, oh, I need a job now. I need a job now, so how can we bring me back from the dead?
We need to do the necromancy or something.
Or something.
Flame breads?
Yeah, let's do that.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
This is unfortunate because he just got the title back. MJF is injured with a hyperextended knee.
# blame Brent.
Yeah, he just defended the title last night on AEW television. He got injured in said match, and it's a legitimate injury. Who knows how long? He had to pull out of his last American Indie date that he was going to be doing this Friday because of the injury. So that sucks for one MJF. So hopefully just hyperextended and you kind of rehab it and you're okay. Nothing else that doesn't go into the serious category, and it's just banged up for a couple weeks. And he can still cut his promos on television. So hopefully there is that. We have one more blame Brent, because this is just for Brent.
Oh, it's not on the sheet.
No, it's not on the sheet. This one's just for Brent.
Is he here? Is he listening?
I don't know if he's listening, but he'll listen at some point, hopefully, and we'll hear it.
Hi, Brent.
New York Yankees All-Star Aaron Judge diagnosed with a stress fracture on his first rib on his right side. Out 4 to 6 weeks.
# blame Brent.
Is Brent a Yankees fan?
He is a Yankees fan.
Why? What is wrong with you? I mean, the Cowboys, I understand, but the Yankees? What the fuck? I need that explained, sir, when you have time. Like, why? Seriously, why? Anyway, you want to go to break?
Yeah, let's go to break, because that just appeared on Twitter like a minute ago, so that's why I had to throw it in there.
God, I mean, he's on it, folks. He's on it.
He's on it. What can I say?
All right, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about Clash in Italy. And we have opinions. So you're listening to The Rack right here on MaltTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you. Always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post-show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's The Raw Post Show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a Kate Sheep. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Did you know you can use supported creator code Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. You happen to have a free subscription here on Twitch, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little button down the bottom of the screen and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are talking about Clash in Italy, which was this past Sunday, May 31st, from Turin, Italy. I just need to say this. There was part of this arena that kept screwing with me through the entire thing. And it
what was that?
The stairs that come down into the arena floor, because you could see them and it looked like a bunch of empty seats. And every time I saw it, I was like, why are there so many? Oh, those are the stairs.
Those are the stairs, yeah. Yeah, because unlike here in the States, where it's just one set of stairs that goes down an arena set, arena floor, this is a double wide set of stairs.
I mean, depending on how you configure it, it could be a very cool thing. But for this, it was just like, why are those like that?
Yeah.
Because this is one of the Olympic venues. So.
Yeah, the old Olympic venues, yeah.
So I'm not sure what was held here, but it was an Olympic venue because they were nice enough to show the rings on the building. As they did the outside shots. So, what is your overall takeaway from this show?
It was a quality show,
which
was very enjoyable. I thought everything delivered as it should have. I thought the main event was executed well. I really enjoyed Rhea and Jade, surprisingly. I thought that was
one of the
highlights of the show. Overall, I would say a quality show. Nothing special, but it was a good night of action with a very loud crowd.
Yes, they were super excited to be there. I mean, European audiences are just putting U.S. audiences to shame, and now we know why. Now we know why. They're going over there more because we're not loud enough.
No, we're not. And they're just into it. It's a different atmosphere overseas when the crowds are there. Like in London, they're all right because they were used to be the blowaway crowd. But every other city that doesn't get WWE action, like Italy and Germany and France, they have just ramped up the excitement level where it's like it makes it feel like it's a big sporting event every time they hold a PLE in those buildings. And it should show that maybe the US crowd should take a, you know, notes from them and get into it. But again, American crowd, because I guess the best way I could say it, these are football crowds or soccer yes. crowd style crowds where they're more energetic. And because football, soccer is not the main sport of the United States, we're more reserved sometimes during our live events.
I guess not to be.
I mean, with the World Cup here, we could probably learn a few things. Just saying.
Oh, I'm sure we will learn quite a few things with the World Cup coming.
Yeah, but what was your overall thoughts on the show?
I enjoyed it. I thought it was very entertaining. It was a nice watch. It was timed very well. It moved. I enjoyed the pacing. I was a little disappointed by one match. We're going to talk about it. But overall, like, it didn't ruin my impression of the show, especially on a second rewatch, because I always watch it twice. But yeah, I like this. I love that the crowd was super into it. They always make, like, a loud crowd always makes it better. And it's fun to watch with a loud crowd because the wrestlers feel the energy and they get into it and they're having fun and you can tell they're having fun. And that's really what this is all about, is there's just, it's an overall better atmosphere and better energy. But yeah, like overall, I thought this was like a good show. I didn't think it was like a barn burner by any stretch of the imagination. Like it had some high points for sure. But like overall, I don't think this is going to rank in the top 10, you know, of wrestling shows of all time, but it doesn't have to. Like it shouldn't, you know, I think you have to do like something special to do that. But I say we talk about the matches.
Let's get into it.
So opening your show, Cody Rhodes was defending against Gunther for the undisputed WWE Championship.
So the way I described this on Sunday was, because a lot of Cody matches were kind of like, you know, formulaic, and you kind of know the bits, and there's always a slowdown period before you ramp back up. They mm-hmm. they eliminated that in this one.
Yeah.
It was all action for a majority of the match, which is why it was one of the shorter matches on the show, which people wondered why it was only like 11 minutes. Well, but that's why you eliminate some of the stuff. I think Cody's a little banged up. He's working a lot, but I think he's a little banged up, so you're going to keep his match a little bit shorter. But it didn't take away from the enjoyment of the match. I thought Gunther was strong, and I kind of like the finish for what it is. What about you?
Yeah. I thought, like, the finish, I don't know, like, and it should come out of the blue, but it's just, like, there, it felt like, you know, you're watching it, and then the finish came very suddenly, which the finish was Cody hit the Cody Cutter in the Crossroads to retain his title, but it felt like a very sudden, quick ending. I don't know if that was the way it was planned, or if something else happened. I'm sure it's the way it was planned, because we would have heard by now, but, like, it was a good match. It was a solid contest. Like, I don't think they ever hit fourth gear, but I don't ever think they intended to.
No, especially with the finish where he had his foot under the leg, under the rope, his leg on the rope, and setting up a rematch, because they protected Gunther with the outcome where he complained to the referee afterwards that his foot was underneath the rope, and Cody's like, "Well, another shot, just come get it, and they'll run it back." Whether it's on TV or at Night of Champions.
I'm sure Night of Champions.
You would think so.
Well, no, they can't, because that's Champion versus Champion.
No, it's not Champion versus Champion.
Oh, it's not?
That is...
No, that's Series.
No, that's showed Crown Jewel.
Oh, that's Crown Jewel. Okay, all right.
Yeah, Crown Jewel is Champion versus Champion. Night of Champions just Night of Champions. It features the King of the Ring Finals and Queen of the Ring Finals. But I also say it could be on television because they're overseas and you want big matches on television for the crowd. Yeah. Yeah, it was what it was. It was solid. They never hit fourth gear, but it was never meant to, as you said. But it did its job. It opened the show strong, and it had people talking about the finish, and that's what you want.
I think the only danger in this is what we talked about before the match, which is just the interest level in Cody and making Cody interesting and that struggle for them to do that. I know this was not meant to achieve that by any stretch of the imagination, but they're no closer to getting that. And that is worrying for him. And also, I don't know why, but it feels like Gunther's kind of lost a little bit of his aura. Like I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is, but it just feels like he's lost a little bit of that muchness. I don't know how else to put it, that he had.
I don't think he's lost it. I don't think he lost it. I think he got sucked into the Codyverse, and you kind of lose something in the Codyverse right now.
Yeah. And so it's like, it didn't ring all the bells for me. Like the finish was what it was. I don't mind the foot under the bottom rope.
No, I didn't mind it.
Like, it's fine because the whole point is they're going to go again, as you said. So it's the ref misses it, which I know a lot of people were upset that the ref missed it. But as you guys talked about on Sunday, refs miss a lot of stuff. Okay, can we just chill until WWE gets instant replay, which the day that happens, that would be fucking hilarious till it's not. Just go with it. Just it's wrestling. As much as you guys want storytelling, just go with it. Just enjoy, have fun. But yeah, like I thought the finish was fine, because if it gets him to another match, great. But I think that was really my only complaint about it, was like, it's just Gunther, for whatever reason, didn't feel the same as what he normally does. Like, it felt like there was almost like a step back taken on him, and that could just because he's entering the Codyverse. But I would like them to see them do more with Cody. Find him another story, please. Find him another story. But up next, this was a great thing to follow. Rhea Ripley defended her title against Jade Cargill in a hell of a match.
So, to quote Liv Morgan, or not to not quote her, but go along with her reaction, this was Jade's best performance in WWE.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
She worked her ass off. It was a great match. The two really went at it and they gelled so much. You had involvement. It played into the finish, yes, but the two girls battled hard. It was a great battle.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with what Brent said. I think it was Brent said on Sunday, which is, I don't know what Jade is doing to continue to improve. She is, but she needs to keep it up, because every time Jade goes to wrestle, she just gets better and better and better, which is what you expect her to do, because she's working more, she's getting more experience. But it's like, her in WWE, she is night and day in compared to where she was in AEW. And it's showing. And it's showing what an asset they have in Jade. And of course, Rhea is just that perfect foil for Jade, because they are polar opposites in almost every way. So they work really, really well against each other in a feud. And they're both, at least personality-wise, strong enough to stand up to the other. They're both capable in the ring. They put on a great performance. And yeah, it's like, you have B-Fab and Meechan show up, which you expect, because they're the baddies. But Rhea had help too from her harem. I'm just going to call it her harem at this point, because that's what she has. Because Charlotte Flair came out to help Rhea Ripley. So, we got that going on. But it's like, for every match that had shenanigans in it, which I think this was the only one that did, this was fine.
Because it made sense. It played into the story they were doing back at, for the last few weeks on SmackDown, what happened in Saturday night's main event, what happened on SmackDown a couple nights prior, where Alexa got taken out. It all made sense.
My God, it's like they did storytelling. Who does in 2026?
Not WWE, apparently.
All right, let's talk about the next match. I was not as high on this match as some people, I think, were. In a rematch from WrestleMania 42, you had a returning Brock Lesnar take on Oba Femi. I'm just going to say this. I think, because it reminded me so much of it, I feel like this is what the match between Taker and Brock was supposed to be at WrestleMania 30. Because it was just F5, 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 F5. And an occasional Kimura lock, just to, just to spice things up. But, like, Oba got some offense in. Like, him kind of no-selling the table was good.
He no-sold a lot. He got back.
He no-sold a lot.
So, for all the bad... Okay. The match itself was good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the premise of what they set out to do was good. Thing is, was it the right setup, the right idea for a match? No.
Mm-mm.
It should have been the other way around. But for what they were looking to accomplish on that night, they accomplished it perfect. They built, they made Brock strong. They still made Oba strong in the feat. We didn't need it, but they did. That's the kind of thing. From a technical standpoint, everything worked. From the character standpoint, you look at Oba and go, I don't know if he needed to take the loss. And I think that's the biggest problem with the match itself.
Yeah. You had Oba on such a roll, and we talked about this at length on this match of what they were going to do and how they could kind of backed themselves into a corner on this one a little bit. And I understand it. You want to make Brock look strong, but you have to keep Oba strong. And they did recover Oba. He won in a very dominant fashion on Monday Night Raw to advance in the King of Ring tournament. My thing with that is, especially with it being his very first loss on the main roster, in order to sort of rebuild that a little bit, because no matter how you slice it, it is damaging, Oba needs to win King of the Ring, period. End of discussion.
Maybe.
No, he needs to win it.
Maybe.
You keep saying maybe. Why do you keep saying maybe?
Because I don't know if they're going to put him on SummerSlam in the title match. That's why I say maybe. Because if we get the because if the finale is Brock Oba 3, Oba can't win King of the Ring.
Then Brock needs to cost Oba King of the Ring.
That would be the point. Yes.
Yeah. That would be the only way I would accept it. But if the intention is not for Brock and Oba to go again, then Oba needs to win King of the Ring.
That's why I said maybe. Because the Brock costing him is the looming factor.
Because here's the thing with Oba Femi is right now, every loss matters. Every loss is important. Wins are wins, and he looks great when he wins. But when somebody beats Oba Femi, especially since this was the very first loss, that is very, very, very important. And the fact that you gave it to Brock.
Let me make a point like this. I'm okay with him losing to Brock in the fashion he did. If this match was 50-50, where they were going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, I would have been more upset with the loss. Because Brock did the sneak attack and jumped him and didn't let him get out of the gates, and Oba kept fighting back, yes. If they had just gone back and forth, had a regular match, and he lost after 10 minutes, that would have been worse. That would have been a worse loss for Oba. The fact that Brock just threw everything at him in the kitchen sink, then that I'm okay with them, how the loss was handled. Elements, I think he's going to cost them. The question mark is when at NOC final, maybe unless they want to do Seth vs. Braun Part 3 and Night of Champions. I don't think you run Seth and Braun Breaker back at Night of Champions. King, the Ring, 2026 bracket. Because I don't even know. Let's see. Braun Breaker is in the match with Mysterio, Trick, and Damian. Because here's your problem, right? With Braun Breaker winning his King of the Ring match, he gets Oba. And I don't know if you do Oba. I don't know if you're doing Oba Breaker on a random Raw. You could.
I mean, you kind of have to. Unless you have somebody get jumped. You kind of have to.
No, you don't. Because it's a four-way. He doesn't have to eat the pin. Trick could still win on Dom. Dom could still win and move on. You know what I mean? Over Trick or Damian. And then Trick or Dom get destroyed by Oba. You put Oba to the finals. Unless Breaker wins when Brock takes out Oba. In Breaker wins, Breaker beats Oba because Brock takes out Oba and costs them the match. But I find it hard. Let's see, where are they? Where would you do this match? If you do this match in Paris. No, because they won't be doing this one. They would do Oba. Oba Braun Breaker would be here in the States on the 15th. You could get Brock to do that one. You could have Brock show for that one, possibly, if that's your intent. I don't know. But anyway, that it's going back to the match. The match, the outcome worked for the story. As the Oba fan, you go, tell a different story.
I'm not happy with the loss. I will accept it because I can't change it. My only concern is that they just need to be very careful and very intentional from here on out in how Oba loses.
Don't ride back this situation.
Yeah, don't ride back the situation because you have something in Oba. And I think that's what's really disappointing about it is that they really did create one of those mythical, magical moments at WrestleMania that we hardly get anymore, where you saw the moment a star was born in Nova Femi. Like, he beat the shit out of Brock, and he won, and he sent Brock packing, and it was this instant moment for him, and it was so magical. And it's like, to me, the loss takes away from that, because it's like, what the fuck was the point then of WrestleMania? And we talked about that, that it's like, this will damage what happened at WrestleMania. Now, if it was like Brock coming back 6 months later, okay, yeah, sure, I can see that. Like, 6 months later, that's fine, because it's Brock's gone home, he's gone to lick his wounds, he realized he can't stand it, he can't take it, he got his ass in shape, and he's coming back to challenge Oba Femi. This was what, 6 weeks? 2 months?
Yeah.
I feel like they could have let that breathe a little bit more and put more distance between Brock and Oba, and it would have been fine. I understand why it was on this show. It's in Italy. They want to have a lot of big names on it. You need to have something for Oba to do, and you just don't want him to go out and squash somebody. But like, I worry, because it's, you have to be very intentional with how you handle all of Oba's losses from here. You don't want to put too many on him too quickly, or else it's, what is special about him? Because that was helping to add to the aura of, that's the guy that conquered the Beast and got rid of Brock Lesnar forever.
Yeah, the problem is, it seemed like they had nothing for Oba, and the open challenge wasn't exactly the best use of him. No, the open challenge was to set up Brock's return. That's what it was.
Yeah, the open challenge worked. In that instance where you don't have much for him to do, you don't have the story, having Oba just beat people up in an open challenge works, because you're showing off his strength, right?
And like, and beyond that, he wrestled one match on the main roster, and that was at WrestleMania. Sans the Cody match, but that doesn't count as the official debut. You needed the Raw audience to see him squash people. That was the right booking. It's not they didn't have anything for him. It was, we're putting him on TV every week. You're going to love Oba Femi. And it's working, because he's still beloved, and he's over, and he's destroying people.
Yes, absolutely. Like, people are still doing the dance. People are still enjoying him. I think they recovered him well on Raw. I am just concerned. I have the concerns. They just need to be very careful and very intentional with how they carry this forward. Because we don't want a Ryback situation again. So let's not do that, WWE. We like Oba. We want him to have nice things. So do the nice things. But speaking of nice things, Sol Ruka took on Becky Lynch in a fun little match, with Sol picking up the victory and winning her very first WWE Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was really well worked. They have something in Sol Ruka. Becky Lynch made her, as Becky does a lot of people these days.
Pay it back, pay it forward, baby.
I thought they were going to tell a different story, because there's a lot of tease of Sol being injured and not working the show, but she came on the pre-show and was like, yeah, I'm fine, we're working and everything like that. I thought Becky would have underestimated, because Becky was just taking an Italy vacation, and maybe they'll still play into that. We'll see if they put Becky in the main event scene again. I would hope so by the end of the year. I think she does one more match with Sol, unless she's winning this tournament, the Queen of the Ring. Let's see, Becky has
still won Queen of the Ring, right?
No, Becky has a hard bracket, because she's in a match with Liv, Alexa, and Chelsea. God, that's going to be a fantastic just
That's going to be match. Fun.
I can't wait for Chelsea and Becky interactions. That will be fantastic in a match. That's a great match, which Becky winning wouldn't surprise me, but I think Alexa would better get for the shine. But I think you have Becky win that, and you put Sol in here with Lyra, Charlotte, and Jade. Maybe that's how you do the rematch, and then possibly, or you honestly, you can also do a Charlotte Becky match. I wouldn't be opposed to that one either in the bracket. But yeah, I think Becky could be moving back up to the main scene here in the next few months once they kind of figure out a direction. Or honestly, I keep Becky away from any title and just have her do a story without a title, because I think that would be good too.
Yeah, I would keep her out of the title hunt for a while, and sort of build her back up to go back into the main event scene. But I would keep her out of it right now and just kind of let her do her own thing. Why is Liv in the King or Queen of the Ring tournament?
So
why?
Storyline is she's beaten in the mall, so she just wants everything.
That's stupid.
That's the story. My theory, she was the only one left on Raw. That is you working. No, You got Ivy Nile and Natty.
Okay, so throw them in there.
No, and Natty's work. Natty is in down in NXT right now.
So use Ivy Nile.
I don't disagree, but that's why I think she's in it. Also, I think Stephanie returns and costs her.
Probably. But, like, why, other than that, like, Liv is a champion. The whole point of the Queen of the Ring is to fight the champion. So what the fuck is she going to do if she wins the championship? Challenge Rhea?
Yeah, get two titles.
No. Absolutely not.
It's like they do with the Royal Rumble.
No.
I don't think it's a great idea. I'm giving you what the story they're telling.
I understand that, and I get that, but it's stupid. It's just stupid. That's all. That's all there is to it. It's stupid. It's convoluted, and I don't like it. It's like I saw that, and I'm like, why is she in there? She shouldn't be in there. Like, what the fuck? She's fighting for her own title? Like, the very least thing they could do is come up with some reason to strip Liv of the title, and then she has to fight the Queen of the Ring to get it back. Like, at least do that. But they didn't, so here we are. I don't know. It's stupid to me. There's some storytelling going on in WWE right now. I don't agree with all of it, but there's definitely some storytelling going on. Yeah. So, by the way, congratulations to Sol Ruka for winning her first title.
And also,
good job.
The whole point of not using Ivy Nile and having or Natty was nice work in NXT, it's because they're overseas. I think if they were in the States and they were on the tour, it'd be different.
What is one more person? They flew people over just to have them in the crowd for the PLE. Like,
no, they didn't fly them over just to be in the PLE. They worked two house shows beforehand.
And what's one more? Realistically, what is one more to fly Ivy Nile over for one show, have her do one match, and then be on the tour or have her go home? Like, it's, in comparison to what they are spending, it's mouse nuts.
Budget cuts. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm just giving logical
reasons. They're a multi-billion dollar company.
Who keeps shedding payroll.
They're not getting that nice little government kickback, you know, for the thing they're building in DC.
They're not building it.
TKO is.
I think TKO is building it. I don't know. Who knows?
Somebody getting a kickback on that. Anyway.
Main event
time. Roman Reigns took on Jacob Fatu for the World Heavyweight Championship. This was a tribal combat match for the position of the tribal chief of the Anoa'i family. If Jacob won, he got the championship and the title of tribal chief. But if he lost, he had to acknowledge Roman Reigns as his tribal chief. This was somebody living out their subjugation fantasy come to life, this entire storyline. Match included, and follow-up included. Like, I'm just gonna say that flat out. This is somebody's AO3 fanfic come to life. This whole fucking thing.
So, props to Jacob for working hurt, because you could tell he was hurt. You saw the brace on his knee. There's many questions whether he would work the match. Apparently, there was an idea thrown around that Drew McIntyre would be in the match if Jacob couldn't go. I don't know how you got there logically, but hey, that's what was speculated. I thought the match was good. I thought, when, as Casey said, when they were in the ring, it was really good. Outside stuff was outside stuff, but it played to the crowd. Crowd was excited, and it was the right outcome.
It was ultimately the right outcome. I very much enjoyed the in-the-ring stuff, out-of-the-ring stuff. I thought they told a very nice story in the ring. Jacob did not go quietly into that good night. Roman had to beat the absolute shit out of him to defeat him. But Roman brought his A-game, absolutely. I think it would have been cool if Jacob had won. It would have been a very nice surprise if he had won. But I understand why they did that. The follow-up on Monday was the follow-up. It's, we got to see how they do this. I'm kind of with Brent that I think Jay's going to be the instigator in this. And he's going to punish Jacob more than Roman does.
So if you,
but we'll see.
If you take a note what happened on Monday, Jay and Jacob had words, and then Jacob fell in line. But then Roman sent Jay off to go win King of the Ring, unless Jacob cost the Yeet Man. Accidentally cost the Yeet Man.
You know.
I think what they're building to, because I saw something. Well, there went Jacob Fatu's singles push. No, that's dumb takes on the internet. You're building to Jacob and Jay. That's what you're building to, a big match, probably at SummerSlam between the two. That's where this is headed.
Yeah.
And rightfully so. That should be a big match on a SummerSlam.
That's a huge step down from Roman. No, because...
But anyone would be a huge step down from Roman.
I mean, fair. Fair, very fair. Like, I think the story they're going to tell with Jacob is he basically destroys the bloodline from the inside, because it's Bloodline 2.0 at this point. Because you had Solo and the boys show up after the match. Like, oh, look, there they all are. They're all together. One giant family. But yeah, I think what's going to happen is Jacob is going to destroy the family from the inside. And that's what we're going to see. It's going to be kind of what I talked about on Thursday, I think, with a very much sort of malicious incompliance, weaponized incompetence, that kind of stuff, where Jacob is going to attempt to outsmart them. And I think he's going to potentially succeed on at least Jay and possibly Jimmy. And then we'll see if he can get Roman. But I think Jacob understands that he's going to have to work his way back up to Roman. And the only way he's going to do that is by going through Jay and Jimmy first. So that's because he's now low man on the total pole, as it were. So he's got to sort of like just sort of play the game for a while.
Yeah.
Very similarly, I think, to what Jay and Jimmy were trying to do in the beginning and then ultimately just got sucked into it. So we'll see if Jacob sort of gets seduced by the power that is being with Roman Reigns, or if Jacob is like, nah, man, and absolutely plays Roman for a fool. Because personally, that's what I would love to see, is Jacob plays them all for fools and he ends up coming out on top and he takes Roman's title from him and outsmarts him. Because that's, I said that at least from the beginning with the Bloodline, is that was how Roman was going to lose his title. And it sort of half happened and half didn't happen, where somebody's going to have to outsmart Roman. And without Heyman there kind of watching Roman's back, and Jay and Jimmy sort of like keeping an eye on things, Jacob has more of an opportunity than Jay ever did. And that's the thing. It's Roman running the show, but Roman isn't necessarily fully paying attention. He's relying on Jay and Jimmy to do that, and Jay and Jimmy aren't watching everything. So Jacob will have plenty of chances at some point to take all of them down. He just has to bide his time right now. At least that's the story I hope they tell. That would be nice.
We would love to see it, but do they have faith that they will do it? Especially the plan is for Oba to take it off him, unless they build to Oba versus Jacob, which would be incredible.
That would be fantastic, yeah.
It would be a good match. And I think that's a 12-month, we're about 12 months away from that match.
Yeah, easy. Because I don't know if they're going to put Oba in the title picture just yet. I would like them to, but if he's going to take a run at Roman, he's going to lose. I honestly foresee Oba wrapping up with Brock and retiring Brock, and he gets that honor and finishes that out, and that's how he gets paid back for the loss. And that's how you reestablish him fully. And then you send Oba on a run where he just basically fucking wins everything, including Royal Rumble. And then you point him at like Roman then, or you point him at Jacob, depending on who has the title. But I think Oba's going to get it before Jacob. And then Jacob challenges Oba, because it could be the one thing Jacob can't do, very similar to Jay, is he can't defeat Roman for the title. It's the one thing he can't do. And so when somebody else takes it off of Roman, Jacob's like, dibs. Or Jacob just goes and heals his knee, because good God, he's hurt.
We shall see.
We shall see.
I really hope Roman doesn't keep it till next Mania. I don't...
He may.
He may, or he may not. Or he loses it and gets it back before Mania.
You good? That is probably...
I think that's more possible than Roman holding it to Mania. Would I be surprised if Roman holds away through Mania? No, but I think you can have him drop it at SummerSlam because he's working the summer, and then come back in the fall and win back his belt and go to Mania and you set up your match.
Yeah, I think you have to build another credible challenger for Roman, and Oba is not quite there yet. Braun is not quite there yet. I think they're getting Braun ready for Roman. And so we'll see if Braun can beat Roman, but they could also see how they recover Oba, because if Oba wins King of the Ring, he could challenge Roman and he could beat Roman. And that would be something cool to see, is Oba Femi defeats Roman Reigns at SummerSlam, right? Oh, Seth versus Roman would be good, but it doesn't ring my bell, as it were.
No, that's probably going to be your that's SummerSlam. And guess what? That's a good SummerSlam main event.
It's fine. It's just, we've seen it before.
we've seen and it also, before. We've seen it before, but the last time we saw it, it didn't end in a way it could have. It
Roman didn't has end not beat Seth yet.
Right.
It's just, to me, that pairing always scares me because it's cursed. It's a cursed match. Every time it seems like they want to do that feud, one of them gets hurt. And it's generally Seth.
Well, yeah, it's usually Seth.
So, like, that pairing scares me. It's like, if you can keep Seth healthy and you can get them to SummerSlam, that's great. But, like, that just scares me. Just a little bit. Because it's cursed. It is. It's cursed. I refuse to be told otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's fine. But anyway, that does it for us. So you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
We tried it last week, but the contestants didn't show, which is why we did impromptu Mass versus Mass dive reaction on CB Radio. We're going to try the spelling bee this Saturday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday is another edition of WTR Sunday Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. We're going to play a game with them surrounding the King of the Ring. Tune in 10 p.m. Eastern. As a reminder, Raw post-show is on hiatus until they're back in the States full time. Which means next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's another edition of Rack featuring the Raw reaction as we talk Monday Night Raw next Thursday right here on the Rack. It's at Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, wherever you get your podcasts, or search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen to support the channel for free. Thank you, LeMans, for supporting the channel. You know you don't share the sub, but I noticed. So thanks for the sub. You can also use credit card RackAttack or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item shop, Epic Game Store. When you buy your brand new battle passes in Fortnite Battle Royale this weekend, why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. And thanks for the sub. Shout out to the people that don't share their subs. I'm one of them.
It's just a reason so she doesn't share it, even though she should.
I get yelled at when I don't share it. Which it's renewing in 3 days, by the way.
So Sunday
it will renew. So I will, I promise I will share it on Sunday. How about and then, that?
There you go.
Anyway, you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsboard, LNSW. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Linsboard. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/EdsonandLinsboard. And you can follow me on TikTok, LinsWard0. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell him we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.